the Good News Station.
USA Radio News. I'm Kelly Sloan. President Obama is asking Congress to formally authorize military force against ISIS. The outline bans what he calls enduring offensive combat operations intended as a compromise between lawmakers who want authority for ground troops and those who don't. But Virginia Senator Tim Kaine wants more specific wording.
I'm concerned about the breadth and vagueness of the ground troop.
And AP White House correspondent Mark Smith says other members of the president's party have similar reservations.
A number of Democrats have voiced misgivings about any resolution approving the use of ground troops. Obama's wording promises no enduring offensive combat role. But Maryland Senator Barbara Mikulski says she needs elaboration.
A prosecutor in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, may charge Craig Stephen Hicks with a hate crime. The 46-year-old was charged this morning with three counts of murder after allegedly shooting a Muslim family in his apartment complex. In court, he claimed the shooting was motivated by a parking.
Safety for your home and family. Now that's important to you. And Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, can help. With security, video surveillance, and access control, Gator Security is available at www.gatorsecurity.com or 800-676-1580. Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, is a proud corporate sponsor of WCNO. GatorSecurity.com.
Godfrey Electric is a fourth-generation, full-service electrical contractor serving St. Lucie, Martin, Palm Beach, and Broward counties. Godfrey Electric specializes in industrial, commercial, and residential electrical service work. Godfrey Electric, an underwriter of the WCNO Ministry, is available on the web at www.godfreyelectric.com or at 561-833-3753.
Congress is set to send a bill to the president that will approve construction of the Keystone XL oil pipeline, but the president is threatening a veto.
Instead of listening to the people, the president is standing with a bunch of left fringe extremists and anarchists. The president needs to listen to the American people and say, yes, let's build the Keystone pipeline.
That was House Speaker John Boehner. The pipeline will run oil from Canada to the Gulf Coast. Proponents say it will create jobs and make the country less dependent on foreign oil. In the press conference, Boehner also said Senate Democrats should pass a bill to fund Homeland Security and restrict President Obama's executive moves on immigration.
The House did its job. We won the fight to fund the Department of Homeland Security and to stop the president's unconstitutional actions. Now it's time for the Senate to do their work.
Funding is set to expire February 27th. Yesterday, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said the Senate was stuck on the issue and the next move was in the House's court. Democrats are opposed to the immigration language in the bill. This is USA Radio.
West of Old England, a WCNO corporate underwriter, has the best in equestrian and western wear from head to toe for both horse and rider. They are your Wrangler, Pro Rodeo, and Horseman headquarters with an expanded woman's department. Also an expanded boot department with Georgia, Justin, and Wolverine boots. West of Old England is located in the Bruner Plaza, 650 Southeast Monterey Road, halfway between US 1 and Canner Highway. West of Old England.
New England could be hit with two more snowstorms this week. Boston Mayor Marty Walsh.
We've smashed a 7-day record, 30-day record, February record. We've pretty much smashed every record there is to have around snow in the month of February. We've had two of our storms for this month have topped the top 7 of all time.
One storm could bring another 4 inches to areas in Massachusetts and Rhode Island. And then the next storm will bring higher amounts of snow on Sunday night. A prosecutor is telling jurors in Texas that a former Marine was numbed by marijuana and whiskey when he allegedly killed American sniper Chris Kyle and his friend Chad Littlefield in 2013. Eddie Ray Routh is charged with capital murder. His family says he suffers from post-traumatic stress disorder after serving in Afghanistan. The IRS has apologized for seizing bank accounts from business owners. The alleged crime they committed was that they routinely made deposits of less than $10,000. That allowed the business owners to avoid reporting requirements designed to catch drug dealers and money launderers. The IRS chief tells Congress that the agency is making policy changes. Leaders of France, Germany, Russia, and Ukraine have arrived for peace talks in Belarus aimed at ending hostilities in eastern Ukraine, where more than 5,300 people have been killed in fighting between Ukrainian troops and Russian-backed separatists. Details of a possible peace deal have not been released. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Radio.
Good news and shoes. It's Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The good news and shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
Here is Joe Martech, right? Am I supposed to talk now? We have a brand new producer today, much better looking than Pastor Tom, much younger than Pastor Tom.
Yep.
Right, Connie?
That's right.
There she goes.
I mean, yep. So Pastor Tom is over in a sandstorm in Greece.
He's
in Israel.
Well, I thought he was. Oh, Tiberius.
That's
is,
what I thought. I don't know what Tiberius is.
But I thought he was. I thought he was following Paul's steps through Greece. But he's following him in Israel first.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, so he's going backwards.
Going backwards. Well, either way, he got caught in a sandstorm today. So, what did he say? He called up and said, "Hey, pray for me to get out of this sandstorm." You know,
or it will go away.
For that, it'll go away. Well, you know, this is he wants to part the Red Sea while he's at it. And see,
might help.
Anyway, this is a talk show. This is the Team Martech Hour, and what the Team Martech Hour is a group of six local professionals that don't share office space, that don't share commissions and fees, that use each other, because any one person in this group doesn't know everything except Vinny's wife, you know,
Listen,
different, but that's okay. We don't.
I'm glad you acknowledge that.
I know, because she'd hurt me otherwise, you know. But anyway,
she will too.
What we have is in our group, Joe Martech's a financial advisor, stockbroker, securities principal, lots of licenses, long, long time in business. Mr. Vincent Rosino, CPA. Also forensic CPA, which means he's an expert witness in the court system. Also used to be a college professor, not at Columbia. Because I can never remember the name of the school he taught in New York. So that's
SUNY, State University of New York.
Yeah,
Old Westbury.
You think I'm going to remember that?
Yes, you will.
That's a long title, State University of New York.
It was
Old
a lot
Westbury.
Easier when it was Columbia. I know.
It's real easy. And then Mr. Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. Big word, independent. Why is independent a big word? Well, if an insurance agent works for one company and that one company doesn't have what you need, you now have to go someplace else. And if you work for one company, one insurance company, and they non-renew you or cancel you because of whatever their reasons are, you have to go someplace else. But as an independent will have 20 and 30 and 40. Dan's got over 80 different companies. He's only been in business 35 years. Right here, meaning in Port St. Lucie, corner of US 1 and Port St. Lucie Boulevard. And then Greg Fasula, attorney. Well, why do we have to have an attorney? Well, folks, I'll tell you. One of the questions that I have when I first meet a new prospect or suspect is, are you ready to die? Now, are you ready to die has two answers, and we have two different vehicles here we're going on. I'm not talking about are you ready to meet God or Jesus. What I'm talking about is, have you done your financial planning?
Right.
Well, if you haven't done your, quote, estate planning or financial planning, one of my jobs, as I see it, is to stir the pot just a little bit and get you to start putting these things down in writing, which would be called a will or a trust. And if we want to do this properly, in my opinion, you get an attorney. Now, here comes the wonderful word attorney. Attorneys by nature normally are not what I call user-friendly. Some of them are a bit arrogant, a bit pretentious. I don't like that. When I met Greg Fasulis 20 some years ago, this is a good listener. He's a patient person. He's a kind person. He's a giving person, loving person. He helps people. And the key thing that happens is he's not there to intimidate. He's just a probably the only attorney I know personally I'd like to have as a next door neighbor. He's just a flat good guy. And then we have Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart. Why? Well, real estate. Does anybody here ever buy or rent? Well, it's called just about everybody alive. And do you have questions on it? No kidding. Things change. You know, there's words that we didn't even hear about a few years ago, like short sales. And what happens in a foreclosure? How is your credit affected? How does a realtor come up and figure out the price of your home? Matter of fact, a girlfriend of mine, Barb, wants to sell her place out in Holly Creek. And I call Vic and I said, she'll basically, they call it a market appraisal. Now, right. You're not an appraiser, but you basically do the same thing. You shop all of the, whoever's been sold in the last few months.
It's comps, basically.
Comps. Right? Yep. And you come up with a value in today's market. So she's doing that for Barbara right now.
Nice.
And one thing about Victoria, she's probably the hardest working person alive. And I'm telling you what, of all the people in life that you meet, some people are not always totally honest. Some people are usually dishonest most of the time. And some people, you can't make them lie no matter what. That's her. She is the straightest arrow. I mean, just flat. Whatever she tells you she's going to do, she does. Period. Period. And last but not least is Mike Polis, mortgage broker. And not only a mortgage broker, he's also called a correspondent lender. He just wears lots of hats. But what happens with Mike, if you're looking to buy a piece of real estate, one of the first things you should do is call somebody like Mike and find out what you can qualify for. One of the mistakes, I think some people that just don't have experience in this, they go out and look and they find themselves a nice house that they like a whole lot. Then they find out they can't afford it because they don't know what the rules are in mortgages. So one of the first thing Mike does within 5 or 10 minutes after you talk to him on the phone, he'll let you know good, bad, or indifferent, so you'll know where you stand. So the whole concept of our group, what we've been able to do is help people in a whole lot of different areas. I'm a financial advisor called a stockbroker, et cetera. So my job basically is to help people with their money, make sure that they get what their goal is. Vince, Mr. CPA, he's going to have long eyes for the next couple, 3 months. He's not going to sleep much because this is his favorite time of year.
I don't complain when I'm making money.
You don't, but it's tax season, and you know it's this is burn the midnight oil.
Yeah,
you know, this
definitely is taxing on the body.
What you have to do. In fact, we were talking about a subject that Connie brought up today, which is Obamacare.
Yes.
And a reporting, and I thought I learned something today, Vince, because how did you explain to me what we were talking about?
Oh, we were talking about the penalty.
Yeah. And the penalty is?
$95. For 2014, it was $95.
Or
1% of your income.
So if you make $40,000,
whatever's greater, goes.
Whatever's greater, 40,000 mm-hmm. times 1% is $400. Mm-hmm. Is this family income or per person?
No, per person.
So if your husband's making 40 and you're making 40, assuming this is a wife, that's 80 times 1% to be $800.
Yes,
right?
But still be sometimes it's still better than paying $800 a month.
Well, yeah,
for a premium.
Yeah, it is. Now, but here's what I liked about it. Mike Polis just walked in. He's, you know, he pretends he's working sometimes, you know, and his office is across the street. He's got a long ways to go.
Had a phone call.
Right? Anyway, Connie was saying, hey, what do you do with Obamacare on your tax return? So Vince was saying the penalty this year is $95 or 1% of your adjusted gross income.
Whatever is lower.
Whichever is higher.
Higher.
Ooh. I thought it was lower too, but I made him repeat that 4 times. So you already did this because I wanted it. And I said, is that 99.9? He says, no, this is 100%. But here was what I liked even better. How do you report it? Explain that. I thought was typical.
Well, this was a couple of things. For those people who utilized the exchange and got an advance reimbursement credit.
Right, right, right.
The insurance company will issue a 1095. C. It's called a form 1095 C. And then based on your eligibility determined by your actual tax return, you'll either have to pay back some of that or you won't. But it'll all be determined on the tax return. But there's also a question this year is, did you have insurance for for the entire year. Because the default is yes. The default is yes.
So if you don't ask the question, it's automatic yes.
In my software anyway, maybe not all preparers' software, but mine is it's default is the yes. So I have to ask my clients, did you have the insurance for the year? Because if you didn't, then there's this penalty thing that comes into play.
Now, what we were kind of joking about, so let's assume he forgets to ask them, or they do it, who knows how they did their taxes, and they just don't answer it, and it automatically defaults to, yes, I did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, audit. Now, what Vinny's saying probably, that the government probably around the 5th or the 10th of April will come up with a big scare tactic and say, you got 2 weeks to get this thing done and fill in that blank properly, which will cause a nice panic. Then maybe next year they'll audit 1,000 people mm-hmm. and make a big splash in the paper about how many people got nailed and had to pay.
And they'll do that in the middle of tax season because they want to scare the heck out of
everybody. I'm wondering how some of these tax software programs like TurboTax are defaulted.
I don't know. I don't know. You should check that if you're one of those Turbo users.
Yeah.
Check it because if it defaults to no and it's a yes or vice versa, you need to know what it's doing.
Sure.
What the default provision is.
I'm just wondering because my girl Nikki, I think I told you, and they, of course, you got to file the amended for her, but and that might be another part that you might have to put in there because she never mentioned that fact at all. So she might have let it default to the yes.
If you don't know.
I was under the impression that the penalty was only $100 for this year.
Well, I guess maybe
can you take a look?
Maybe, I guess, you know.
1%.
Well, hey, you know.
That's steep. It could be very steep.
Well, yeah, but like you said, if insurance costs you $800 a month times 12, that's $7,200 a year, and you had to pay an $800 penalty.
Try again,
and you
Joe.
Didn't get sick, you sure came out ahead.
Try again, Joe. $800 a month for 12 months. What is that?
$96,000.
There you go, $96,000.
I was doing the math wrong, wasn't I?
Yeah.
Where
I got to audit
what
you
What number
over
did
here?
I come up with?
$7,200.
Well, gee whiz, where did that come from?
I have no idea.
That was I like the number.
Yeah, that's $600 a month.
Yes,
for 12.
Well, okay, let's assume your insurance was $600 a month.
But I tell you what I did this year. My health insurance was dropped at the end of this year, and I signed up for MediShare, which is a Christian medical sharing program.
Mm-hmm.
And it saved me about $600 a month compared to signing up for Obamacare.
Now, does Obama this program?
Is it Obamacare compliant?
That's what they tell me.
Well, as long as you got that in writing.
Have you heard of this, Connie?
Somebody else brought it up?
But
I don't know anything about it.
And what's it called again, Mike?
It's called MediShare. And it's actually a company out of Melbourne, Florida. They do health insurance. Well, it's not technically health insurance. It's a Christian medical sharing program.
It's like a medical savings account, or a co-op, maybe is another word.
No, but they use your funds to actually fund other Christians that are in the program.
So it's an insurance program.
Except
they cut out a lot of the fat in the
middle. They can't call it a Christian insurance program.
Because otherwise,
does it qualify for Obamacare?
Because there is an exception to the Obamacare program
For religious?
Yeah, and there's only two or three in the country that qualify because it had to be established before a certain date. I don't recall what that date is. But it saved me a ton of money.
Wow.
Now,
nice.
It just went into effect for me January. I haven't had a claim, so I don't know how that works.
Well, you see, you hit right on it, Mike. You see, this is the key to any insurance.
Well, of course it is.
You could go to fly-by-night insurance company. Not saying this is. I'm just saying.
That's a good name, fly-by-night.
Fly-by-night. You could go to one, and then it's great. Pay your premiums. Everything's great. You don't have a claim. The minute you have a claim,
they're
out of business.
But how did you find out?
But I'm not saying that's true with this.
Actually, it was a I first heard about it. Through a commercial on the Glenn Beck program.
Really?
So okay. I inquired about it, and it sounded interesting, but my insurance hasn't expired yet. So I found out that one of my coworkers in my office also had it, and he's had it for probably about 12 years or so.
Wow.
Is anybody
swears
up any new applicants to this program?
Yeah, you can sign up anytime. And you know, it might not be for you, but, you know.
Is it a major med, or is it just who knows what or who knows what?
My deductible is lower than my deductible was
on my
Humana program.
Right.
And I had no problem with my Humana health insurance. I would have continued it forever.
Right.
But for some reason, it didn't comply, so they canceled me.
I had the same situation, Mike. They canceled me, but the replacement program had less benefits and more premium.
That's exactly.
It was like 80% more for equivalent plans.
So how do you pronounce this thing again?
Medi, M-E-D-I.
Right.
I wound up with a lesser
hyphen Share. No dollar. S-H-A-R-E.
MediShare.
MediShare.
MediShare. Well, you know what? You can look it up online, right?
Yeah. It's a Christian program. It's been around for, you know, quite some time. It has a good reputation. I did all my homework. Now, there might be some bad stories out there, but I didn't find any.
Connie, you have you done your homework on it or no? No? Where's Pastor Tom?
Do you have to be a believer in the gospel?
Yeah, they make you
call a hotel.
Sign a
you know,
sworn statement that you are.
No, do you?
You're a Christian and you're
a Christian and you
that would
and
be
you
kind
believe
of fun,
in the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if he's
that's good.
Maybe he'll call in to us.
You know, hey, Pastor Tom, if you're listening, call. If you're not listening, we're going to call you and get you out of bed. What time is it over there now, do you think?
Oh, I have no idea.
Well, didn't you ever been in Israel?
No.
Or Greece?
Never. I was in Greece, yes.
Well, it's at least 8 hours.
It's at least 8 hours, yes.
So it's 8 hours.
So it's four. It's been midnight
later,
there.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
good. He should be home. Well, if you could find the number, I wouldn't mind calling him. I really wouldn't. Hey, Connie.
She'll lose her job.
I will tell him it wasn't your fault.
Doesn't matter.
And he won't believe it in a heartbeat. Because
no.
Where else did he get the number from, right?
He'll be at the wailing wall and he'll be wailing.
It'll be wailing, right. 1-888-221-8990. 1-888-221-8990. Anybody that wants to call in and talk about any of the subjects we're talking about, 1-888-221-8990. And if you don't want to call in, but you want to call sometimes after the show, Connie will take your name and number and whatever questions you have that we can help you with, we will get back to you. 1-888-221-8990. So, again, the whole concept of our group is to help the people in the community with local experts, people that have been around in business a long time. None of us are young, as me especially. You know, I don't like that part, you know. I wish everybody had their AARP group.
But you have
you're
wisdom.
Old, Dan's old.
But you have wisdom.
Greg is getting close. You know, Mike is working on
what do you define
it.
As old?
When did they send those cards? 50.
When you turn 50.
Well,
you hit
I'm
you
51. I don't remember seeing one. Well, but then again, my memory's gone.
I have to order you one.
It was, I'll tell you what. When I first got it, I was 50 and I received that card. I never forget. We laughed so hysterically hard. My wife and I, we were on the floor laughing. What are we doing with this card? We're 50.
My mother got me one. When I turned 50, she just got perverse pleasure out of saying, Joe, you're one of us now.
That's right. Yes. You just entered the world of senior citizens.
You just became one of them. You're a senior citizen. You know, you really don't think you are at 50. AARP does. They think you are.
Mm-hmm.
But when you turn 65, I'm going to tell you what. I don't care what you say.
I wish I could retire at 51.
Isn't that the truth?
I'll be 91 by the time I retire.
If you want to make a comment live, I've got another call.
According to the government, when you're 65, that you are permanently disabled.
SmartTech Live, come help you.
Can I take this one?
No.
I couldn't take it now because you hung up on him. Well,
please, caller, please call back.
Yeah, call back. You know, Connie's chief cook and auto washer today. She's normally she just does half.
Come
the
on, you got to be kind to her today.
I am.
She's still a newbie.
But in the meantime, folks, if you can't get through when we're on the air, you can call afterwards, and it's going to be a lot easier on Connie, and then we will definitely get back to you and try to help you with whatever it is.
1-888-221-8990.
Okay,
over to Joe then. Okay, Randy, hold on, please.
Well,
we have
uh-oh.
A caller.
You got a caller coming.
Okay, is that working?
Don't push the button until it comes in.
It's not working.
It used to ring.
We're having some
we're having
transfer problems.
What happened? You hung up on him again? Connie, you're mean today. You know, that's two people in a row you hung up. Pastor Tom. I'm going to wake him up in Israel midnight with a sandstorm going.
Something's flashing.
What's the red light on top?
Did we have it on like?
Nope.
Could be you rejected or what do you call that?
Let's see. Hey, listen, we're highly technical people here.
Technical.
You know, we wonder.
But it got
three new missed calls. Okay.
There we go.
Do not disturb.
That's it.
That's what it is.
That's probably what it is. It
okay. Do not disturb. How do I get rid of that?
hit the button.
Which button?
Hold. Just do not disturb.
Jim, maybe we can transfer all these calls to your flip phone.
it's obviously rejecting the calls. Or it's going into voicemail.
Comedian mail. Mm-hmm. Mailbox.
Never mind that one.
Forget that, Joe.
This thing is all of a sudden blinking.
Keep your day job.
Three new missed calls. It just says new call. No, end call. My stat, my buddies. My buddy, no records. See, we don't have any
buddies. You don't have any buddies.
Okay. So we don't know what's happening with that thing. But I've pushed every button on this place so far, Connie.
I bet you that's a voicemail message.
Vince, we going back to that MediShare issue. There was I remember them emailing me a form. There's a form you have to make part of your tax return.
I can't hear you.
That proves that you're exempt from the Obamacare program.
Okay. So do they provide you with this form?
They provided me with the form number, and I don't recall because I was just going to print that out when the time came when I filled completed my tax return.
I'll bet you there's a spot I haven't really come across it yet, but I'm sure there's a spot in there that asks you check a box that says they qualify.
But this is a special form that you have to supply with your tax return.
You actually have to put this form attached.
Yeah, sure, it's a schedule. It's some kind of a schedule.
Okay. It's probably the 1095 series.
What's that mean?
It's a new form that they came out with that the insurance companies will issue to you. Particularly, it's important when you have these.
You're supposed to get that by the end of January. Also?
Yes, you should have had it by now.
You know, did you get one?
No.
And you had insurance all year.
Yep.
You complied.
Yes, sir.
And you didn't get one.
I didn't get one.
Uh-huh.
I think it's only for those people who got advance payments.
That are who?
The advance payments, the ones that get the premium credit based on your income that you declared when you applied for it.
Yeah, because
they got actual cash money.
Well, yeah, they do.
Which hello, is,
Well, you know, hello, a prebate.
No, they didn't get cash money. What they did was they offset the premium, and they reduced your premium to a lower level. And then what happens is when you file your actual return based on your income, then it determines what you really were entitled to. Mm-hmm. And if they credited you more than you were entitled to, you got to pay it back, essentially.
Yeah, I know when I went onto the website to price out the Obamacare, my insurance was going to go up about $300. And my deductible...
Percentage-wise, was that a big percentage?
About 30% increase. Wow. And my deductible was going to go up probably by about 50%. So less coverage for more money. And that's what preempted me to look into the options anyway.
Well, hey, listen, that's what we're here to do.
When it first happened to me, I went to a broker. Broker came back. The premiums are nearly double. I thought there was something wrong. I said, you must have a mistake here somewhere. There's no way that this could be almost double what I'm paying now.
My buddy Obama would never do that to me, right?
Oh, no. So he said, Ben, he says, no, that's about what coverages are going for today.
Wow.
So if you don't believe me, go out and price it yourself. Go up on there and go to Blue Cross Blue Shield and Cigna and some
Humana. All those?
Go to all of them and see for yourself.
And?
I did.
And
he was right.
He was right.
And I was shocked.
Well, the whole concept of this, Obamacare is, they said that 90% of the people that are getting it are getting a subsidy.
Yes, okay. Exactly.
Which is the taxpayers
That's
paying.
The subsidy we're talking about, the credits, if you will.
The credit. So,
which explains my 30% increase.
Exactly. Which if your insurance companies, I don't know how, if they're eating any portion.
I figure I went up 80%, so I'm paying for almost another body.
Well, you better lose some weight.
I did. I did, but it doesn't help the premiums.
One,
I lost 10 pounds.
Because you can't afford to eat.
He's been walking.
I've been losing weight.
Very good.
Yeah, it's impressive. The fact that he can still walk at his age. I mean,
it is true, without a cane.
A CPA that's not sitting all the time. This is a new thing.
I have to get up and move around.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I get backaches.
1-888-221-8990. And we are also talking today a bit about reverse mortgages,
yep.
which is a subject that, you hear about on TV all the time. One of the ex-presidents or guy that tried to be, and then other people that are, ex-actors and stuff come up and say, hey, reverse mortgage, good thing.
Yeah, right? We can't afford any of those actors for our company.
No, we just have to act ourselves, right? But a reverse mortgage, I think, is one of the best things I've ever heard. Not everybody needs it, but literally, we have literally seen people's lives change dramatically for the better. I mean, we had one lady, this has been a few years ago now, she was living in Fort Pierce her entire life. House was paid for, not a spectacular house. She had no AC, ever.
In Florida, that's a rough life.
And she got a reverse mortgage and had central air conditioning put in that house. And I got to tell you, you've seen smiles before, but you have never seen a smile like this one.
I wrote a whole article on this,
on
reverse mortgages. I don't know if you know that.
You what?
I'm a published person.
Published person?
Yeah, I wrote an article on reverse mortgages about 5 years ago.
Where was it published?
It was in a magazine.
Uh-huh. AARP?
No, but somebody wanted to go find it, they could Google it.
There you go.
I'm sure you'll find it.
Well, so, you know,
But it's a very good program. Excellent program. Yep. And the best thing about it is they don't have title to your house.
Yeah, right. and it's tax-free money.
That's right. It's tax-free money. And if you should die and you owe more than the house is worth, you don't have to pay it back.
Period.
Well, Joe and I were talking about this earlier. I mean, there's some really fantastic stories how this program has helped people. But, you know, in reality, it should really be part of your financial planning, too, because if you have an investment that you're going to get some kind of tax consequence by liquidating that investment, this could be a much better option for you. When you pull money equity out of your house through a reverse mortgage, it's a tax-free scenario. You don't have to pay taxes on it, so it may be cheaper in the long run.
Yeah, you know,
it may not, but it may be.
There's all kinds of different scenarios, but what each individual person has to look and say, hey, what's my goal with this money? Now, you know, if you take the money out of your house and you can't afford your taxes and insurance and you spend all that money, you're still going to lose your house because you can't afford your taxes and insurance. But you've got to do some planning with this money.
You know, I read a statistic, Joe, last week, which was, to me, was an incredible statistic. 65% of seniors over 65 years old have substantial mortgages.
Substantial?
Substantial mortgages.
Oh, yeah.
On their houses.
I believe that.
And you would think, you know, that generation.
You shouldn't. Right.
Because people, you know, in that era, everybody believed in, let's pay the mortgage off.
Well,
Get rid of that mortgage.
Now, wait a minute. I'm one of those.
You are.
But you see, if I was the generation before.
The World War II generation.
The World War II people, mm-hmm. they absolutely, because they grew up almost depression babies.
Yes.
But then the next one, we came along here, Vin. You're raised in the 50s and the 60s.
You were not even a boomer. You came before the boomers.
I came just a hair before the boomers.
Yeah.
So now we're looking at that group that's 65 to 70, let's say.
Right, that's the leading edge of the boomers.
That's the leading edge of the boomers. And they were living where everything was milk and honey. Those were really wonderful family years. And you know, kids had baseballs.
They did well.
And there was food. And I mean, we really went
a lot of benefits. A
lot of benefits.
Oh, retirement benefits. I see it now. People retirement.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah, it was a whole different scenario. So I'm saying, I understand that. Because today, but back again to the generation before, pay off your house, get rent free and clear. And those are the people that are in their 80s now and 90s.
What's happened? I'm sure those reverse mortgages fit into this picture of people
who have it. That's the biggest objection I get from seniors when they're looking at this. They've lived their whole life to pay off their mortgage, and they don't understand the concept. They don't understand that this is too good to be true, taking money out of the house and never have to pay it back. So. And there also is a misconception that the title to the house reverts back to the bank.
Right.
And that only happens if you want it to, or when you pass away and your heirs don't want the house any longer. Eventually.
No, or Mike, if you sell it before you die.
Or if you sell it.
Yeah. If you sell the house, it then all has
to be paid.
Yeah, you have to pay off the mortgage.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, you know, I had I've got some wonderful, wonderful stories. Now, listen, first of all, I have no sympathy for our government. Let me just tell you that up front. Number two, this is an insured, government-insured mortgage, which means when you take this mortgage out, you're actually paying an insurance premium that guarantees the lender that's making that loan that they are not going to get in trouble on that loan. So I had a client of mine specifically had a condo that at the top of the market, and I'm talking top of the market, they got a reverse mortgage, and this regular old two-bedroom, two-bath, upstairs, walk-up condo was worth $160,000 all of a sudden. So, and they got about 80% or 70% of that money in cash.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when they were talking to me, they were going to move. And they said, well, Joe, we've only taken $30,000 of that money. What do you think? And I said, hey, if you're approved for $100,000 or $120,000 and you don't take it, I think you should be shot. Because, I mean, this is your money. You applied for it. You were approved for it. It's your money sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
So take it. Well, what happens when we die? And I said, you don't have to pay it back. He said, are you sure? And I said, yes, I am. The reverse mortgage, Ronald Reagan was the first one to put it in, and it very specifically says there's no liability to your heirs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if your heirs want to take over that property, they have to pay off the mortgage. You know, no different than if you died and you owed money on your house now anyway.
Yeah, but here's my philosophy on that. If you have a reverse mortgage that exceeds the value of the house,
right?
why not take that equity out and put it into some other investment, which you can also leave to your heirs? Yeah,
exactly.
So it's you're just trading one asset for
the other.
No
doubt about it. But
the
key thing was this: all of a sudden, the place is worth $40,000 or $50,000 instead of the $120,000. And I says, "Well, that's called a win. You won.
Congratulations!
You know, the insurance company that's writing the insurance, or whoever was there back there, they lost. But you know, guess what? Insurance companies don't lose.
You don't have a lot of love for them either.
No, and I represent a lot of them, and a lot of I've got every license in the world for that stuff. But the key is this. Insurance companies make money, and they make a lot of money, and that's their job to make money. If you don't make money, the insurance company is no good. You know, they've got to be able to pay their claims. Not that anybody wants to have a claim paid, but that's what it's all for. Anyway, reverse mortgages, anybody has questions on those or any other type of mortgage, today's a good day to call Mike because he's sitting right here, 1-888-221-8990. And if the phones are not happy, you can call anytime to the show, to the radio station, and Connie will take your name and number and get back to us so we can help you. 1-888-221-8990.
You know, the insurance companies make money two ways, Joe.
Yes. One, by excess money for not paying claims, and the other is invested money.
Yeah, it's underwriting profits. You know that the underwriting money is even greater than the money they're making on the claims, if you
no
will.
No kidding. Yeah, but
so they're banks. They're really nothing
they
more than
are.
Big banks.
Well, you know, years and years and years ago, when I used to work for banks, I also worked for insurance companies, and they made these monster loans to real estate projects, and they would fund millions and millions of dollars to build a real estate project, and then they'd end up repossessing it.
Yeah.
And then they'd end up selling it again. But, you know, okay, as I said, I don't have any sympathy for
it. There we go.
We're going to find out. Hello, caller. It's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi, I have a question. My mother-in-law passed a couple of years ago, and she had taken out a reverse mortgage.
Okay.
And now they're saying that the house is going to go into foreclosure. The bank is now trying to take it.
Yep.
Because of the reverse mortgage.
Right.
So I'm not understanding how, if you don't have to pay that back, then why is it a good thing to get the reverse mortgage?
Well, think about this. When you have a loan on a house and a mortgage on a house, it's a recorded instrument down at the courthouse that says you own the house, but you owe money to this bank. Now, if you don't ever pay that bank, the bank has to foreclose in order to collect their money so they can legally take the house. Now, your parents died, and legally they're going to go foreclose on that house and go through the motion. And I hate to say this, but they're going to have an awfully hard time finding your parents to serve them. So, and I'm being a little funny here, but the bottom line is this. The paperwork may come to you, but, and I've had this happen with other clients of mine when the children got the paperwork and I said, hey, it's got nothing to do with you. You're the only person that receives mail because they had your address. That foreclosure process is a mechanical process that the banks go through in order to claim full title of the property. You follow me?
I'm following you.
I think the confusion, Joe, is when we said that they can't go after you, they can't go after you for the excess over what the house is worth. They'll take the house. They'll sell it.
But if it's short,
they're not going to get a deficiency judgment for the excess.
Well, they can't go after anybody except...
Well, let's ask you a question. Do you want to keep the house is the main question.
We want to keep the house.
Okay. Well, what you have to do is you have to find out how much is owed on that loan. Because remember, the reverse mortgage was made to your parents. Now that they've passed on, the loan has to be repaid. Most of the time, it gets paid with the proceeds of the sale of the home. Now, if you wanted to keep that house, you're entitled to, but you have to get your own mortgage or you have to come up with the cash to pay that loan. So you can refinance that with a traditional type of mortgage and pay that loan off. Now, if for some reason you owe more than what the property is worth, check with that lender because most reverse mortgages are written where the heirs are permitted to buy that property for 95% of what the property is worth, not what's owed. So if you have a house that's maybe worth $100,000, but $130,000 is owed on it, you can buy that house for $95,000 from the bank. in most cases. So you have to check with that lender and see if that's the case with that particular reverse mortgage.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense. We've been working with an attorney, and it does not seem very favorable. There's just a request, an ongoing request for more funds so that they can look into the foreclosure process and see if there are any other liens on the home.
So you've never called the lender direct yourself, then? Or you went through the attorney?
Correct.
Well, I can't tell you that's good, bad, or indifferent because I don't know the attorney. But like Mike was saying, that one of the easy ways to do would have been to call the lender directly and say, hey, my folks died. There's a reverse mortgage. We want to keep the house. What are my options? And they would tell you.
You know, what the normal process for a reverse mortgage, too, is every year they send a letter to the homeowner, to the borrower, and they have to make a statement saying that they're occupying that property as your primary residence. I'm surprised it actually went as long as it did, because normally they'll send that letter out, and if you don't respond, they will start to look into what's the situation with the borrower.
I would think that the bank would have an incentive if the heirs wanted to buy.
Absolutely.
Because the bank's going to lose it anyway.
That's exactly.
So you could work out a deal with them to maybe pay partial on the excess so that it reduces their exposure a little bit.
Well, that's what Mike said, that they'll do. So, but the key thing is to communicate with them and just tell them the truth. Hey.
And there's another big key. Get an attorney who's knowledgeable about this situation. Don't think that every attorney knows the right answer to this question.
Yeah.
Get an attorney with experience in this particular situation.
So in other words, it really isn't free money. It's not really a good thing in all cases.
No, it was a wonderful thing for your parents because it gave them the funds to live their life, possibly to pay off some other debt that they had. But that loan wasn't to you, and that house wasn't to you. Now, if you want to keep the house, you do have the right to get that loan paid off and keep the house. But it is, eventually, you do have to pay the piper. There's just no payments on a reverse mortgage, but interest accumulates on that loan. You're just not going to pay it until after you pass on and the house gets sold and you pay off the loan.
May not be financially feasible.
Yeah, it may not be. It may not be in your best interest to try to keep the house. If you owe more on the house than the house is worth, then obviously it's not a good decision. But you need to. I'm back again. If you just call the lender directly and say, "Hey, what are my options?" Normally these people are not out to hurt you. They're out to whatever the black and white numbers say, that they're just going to go with that program.
Sounds great, guys. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for calling.
You know,
1-888-221-8990.
We do use that term that it's free money, but it's not free money.
It's not free money.
No. You know, the way this reverse mortgage works is there's no payments on this mortgage.
Right.
But the interest accumulates, and sometime at some point at the end of the loan, and that's normally when the borrowers pass on, you have to pay off that loan. And normally that's done with selling the house. And if the house doesn't net enough proceeds to pay that loan off, the bank just turns in a claim to FHA because they pull money out of the mortgage insurance premium fund
to
cover that.
See, the banks are not going to get hurt, but the key is this. If your folks took the money out of the house, let's say it took $100,000 and it went for 10 years and it now owes $150,000, let's just say, because of interest, and the house is only worth $140,000, well, you're going to walk away from it. You don't have an incentive to pay $150,000 unless you have an emotional attachment to that house because it's now overpriced. But you call the lender might come back and say, hey, because you're trying to buy the house, we'll settle for less than is owed on the house.
And like I said, check with that lender, because most reverse mortgages that are written today, and I can't testify towards everything that was written in the past, or if all reverse mortgages have the same guideline. But today you're entitled to pay off that loan for 95% of the appraised value.
Today's appraised value.
Or 95% of what's owed, whatever is less.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Or whatever's
now
left.
You said something interesting.
Is that
95% of what's owed?
Or,
well, I guess if you're upside down,
you want to take 95.
You're still going to keep the same gap there. It's
Well, if it's no, if you have an appraisal that comes in at 100 and you owe 150, 95% of 150 is a whole lot more than 95% of 100.
You're right, except for the key is if you're upside down, besides the emotional, if they don't want to give, if you're just pushing it off into the future, then I don't see the incentive.
No.
Unless you've got an attachment to the house and you're willing to absorb that debt.
Well, you
essentially, it's your mother and father's debt that you're absorbing now to own their house.
Yeah.
Well, that's true.
That doesn't make any sense to do that.
No, it doesn't. So I would say if you're severely upside down.
Well, but you got to think, how about buying a house I don't have to apply for, but it's already got a mortgage on it? I'm assuming a mortgage, right?
Well, again, it depends on, there's so many variables. Then how much could they afford? I mean, if it's a low.
Okay, yeah, exactly. Once you put all the variables together, it may or may not make sense. But the first thing is to find out the facts.
Oh, definitely. And talk to the lender.
There you go. You go. 1-888-221-8990. 1-888-221-8990. So again, no matter how much we talk about a reverse mortgage, and to us, it's a pretty simple thing.
Mm-hmm.
All you're doing is taking something that you either own free and clear, or you owe a little on it that you can pay off that loan and never make a payment.
Yes.
But you still have that loan on the house, and that loan is going to grow because you're not paying the interest. And then one of these days you die, and if the house is worth more than what you owe on it, the kids will probably want to sell it or take it over, do whatever. And if it owes more than it's worth, they just say, okay, Mr. Lender, it's yours.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, how does it work with fees on these deals?
Typically the closing costs are more expensive than a traditional forward mortgage. And I would say they're probably about 20 to 30% more than a traditional mortgage. And the reason for that is that loan is going to grow instead of be paid down.
Right.
So you may start off at $100,000, but at the end it could be $175,000.
Right.
So what the lender has to do is they have to record a mortgage that's significantly higher than the amount of money that you actually walk away with. So we can, on a $150,000 home, we'll record a lien a 1.5 times the appraised value, not how much you're going to net. So that means you have to get title insurance on that much. You have
based
to pay
on that amount of money and doc stamps.
Doc stamps. I'm tangible
sure
tax.
I'm sure they've done the math, because is that enough? 50% over the appraised value at the time you make the loan?
50% over the appraised value. Now remember, if your house appraises in at $100,000 and you're 70 years old, they're probably only going to lend you about $60,000 on that house. But they're going to record a mortgage for $150,000. So the chances of the loan amount exceeding $150,000 are pretty slim if you're 70 years old.
Well, that means, because it would have to double, which means, and I don't know what the rate of interest they're accumulating.
If it's 6%, it'd take 12 years to double, right?
Right.
6% times rule of 72.
Yep.
And it's compounding. So. Mm-hmm.
So if they get
60 and now they got 120 in 12 years and they got $150,000 on it, I mean, these people have to
live. They got to do their math.
Yeah.
So, it is an expensive loan to get into because of these higher closing costs. So it has to make financial sense for you. If you don't think this is your last house, then this is probably not your loan.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Yeah.
1-888-221-8990. So other than Obamacare wanting $95 out of you this year,
at least,
or 1% of your adjusted gross, I'm guessing, huh?
Yeah, of your adjusted gross, correct.
Per person.
But
only working people.
That's right.
Not the children, right?
No.
So if let's say you're a family of four and the two people are working and the kids are 15 and 16.
I think it's either single family, you've got to be in one or the other.
One lump or the other. Yeah, but but otherwise you go to Mike. I'm really impressed that you found that thing. You know, that was somebody referred to.
I always look for a deal.
Well, hey, you know, that's
we're here
good.
To save money. I'm trying to save myself money.
You did well.
And you might save some of the listeners money.
Hey,
maybe they might. You
know,
I might
look it up.
I might. I'd like to see the details of this plan because it sounds almost too good to be true. And you know what the old rule of thumb about that is.
However,
here's the downside. If you have a pre-existing illness or issue, they're not going to cover that.
I got you. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So
you have to be fairly healthy. Now, I think they have some caveats that, you know, if you had an issue and it's been under control for 36 months, then it will cover you.
Like blood pressure or cholesterol.
I have blood pressure and I have cholesterol.
I hope you have pressure.
I have blood pressure. but I'm on medication for it, and they still insured me.
And they still insured you. Yeah, well, you see, that seems so commonplace now.
But it's under control. 50,
I mean, if high blood pressure or cholesterol pressure, issues.
As long as you're controlled for a period of time. Most lenders are pretty good. Or not lenders. Most insurance
most
companies.
Insurance company lenders,
they're all
too.
Lenders, too. Yeah, now that I think about it. 1-888-221-8990.
Well, you know, here's my theory about that. I know you want to go into different topics, but you know, if my thing was if I had an illness and they decided not to cover it or they gave me a hard time, I just have to get to the reenlistment period where I can then file for Obamacare.
I gotcha. So there is a window you could get into the you could jump
they
to
can't
another.
Turn
you
can
you once
can,
a year.
You
isn't
can
it?
Get into Medishare anytime you want. But you can start signing up for Obamacare in November and for it to go into effect January
1st.
And
then apply for this thing. Right. And if you don't get it, so what? At least you have right. Obamacare.
Yeah.
So that was my theory. The worst
well, that's not a bad thing.
No, that sounds like a plan.
You just want a slow cancer rather than a fast one.
Oh,
jeez. Oh. I know. I'm here to cut to the quick real fast on it. 1-888-221. Hey, but now that we know you can get sick and be okay because you're covered, let's let you live a little bit by mm-hmm. making you some money.
Yes.
Isn't this a nice thing?
It's, you know what? Yes.
You know, I don't know if you guys have paid any attention. Connie, have you noticed that the banks are paying big interest rates these days?
Huge.
Huge? Oh, yeah. You've noticed? You know,
I saw in my bank it was like 0.25% on a CD.
That's pretty strong. You got
to. But you had to tie it up for
that's
40 years.
Good. Yeah. And do you know when you consider inflation, you're actually going backwards?
Well, you are. Any inflation is more
Any
than one quarter.
More than one quarter.
Well, let's running. Just say you get 1% out of a bank.
Okay.
Let's just say you
inflation's
can.
Running a minimum of 3.
Well. It might be more than that if we go to the grocery store or buy gas in the car, except now the
20.
Gas prices are down, but they've gone back up.
Yeah, they've gone
up 30, like 20 and 30
cents. Look at the price yeah. of oil yeah. creeping up. Is it 52 bucks a barrel?
Well, it went back down below 50 today.
It
so
did? But it's on the way up.
But you ever notice that they say it raises quick and lowers slow?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's
yes.
a fact.
Yes.
But,
well, same things with interest rates, too, in the mortgage business.
Well, one of the things that happens, and I was talking about this earlier today on this other radio show we do called WPSL 1590 AM. We're on every Wednesday at 11 o'clock in the morning, is exchange-traded debt. This is education now. Everybody's heard of all kinds of different investments, and there are. I mean, there's like 30,000 different investments, and there's no such thing as any one person knowing all of them. But a debt instrument is not normally common stock. Common stock means you own the company. So if you buy shares in any company, General Motors, whatever, you're an owner. Now, you may own a tiny little piece, but you with a whole bunch of other people own that company. Now, that shares can go up, they can go down. Sometimes they'll pay a dividend, sometimes they don't. But you're at risk of whatever that company does. Now, a debt instrument means I loan you money or you loan me money. And we sign a piece of paper that says, I agree to pay you, and I agree to pay you an interest rate, and I'm agreeing to pay you off at some time. No different than if you get a car note or a house loan or go down to Sears or wherever it might be, and you agree to pay for whatever you buy over a period of time with an interest rate. Well, exchange-traded debt instruments are big companies, some of the biggest companies in America, and I'm talking household names, utilities, and monster companies, that right today are paying 5% and 6% interest, and interest is paid every 3 months. And what happens is you can buy these today and you can sell them tomorrow. They are 100% liquid.
Now, why would you buy them today and sell them tomorrow?
Well, you wouldn't, but let's say an opportunity came along
mm-hmm.
and you had money in the bank and you tied it up in a CD, but all of a sudden you had an opportunity to go buy something. You mm-hmm. could go to the bank, say, hey, cash in my CD, I'll pay my penalty,
mm-hmm.
and you take your money. Well, these things, you don't have a penalty. What happens is, literally, you can buy them today and sell them tomorrow, but you have one little minor side effect. If you paid a commission, which I don't know anybody that'll work for free, you better think about holding these things at least 6 months
mm-hmm.
because you've got to pay up front in order to buy them.
Right. Now, do you have to hold them the whole quarter to get the quarter's worth of interest?
I love this. He's a plant.
Listen,
a plant.
I think you set him up for this.
That's right.
We had this conversation
we
this morning.
We had this morning.
Aha, there we go.
It's funny you should say that.
He automatically fed him this. This is a softball.
It's a softball. Here's one right here that says I have to own it on March the 1st. And it pays 5.7% interest. And if I own it by March 1st, I'll get paid on March 15th, 2 weeks later. And I'll get paid one quarter of 5.7. One quarter.
So you'll get a whole quarter's worth of interest for holding it a couple of weeks.
Holding it a couple of weeks. Well, okay. Now, that actually happens to be the most current, closest date right now. If somebody said to me, Joe, I want to do this one. Which one do you want to do this with? I said, well, here's one of the biggest, best-known insurance companies in the whole world, and they're paying 5.7%. And if we buy it before March 1st, we're going to get paid March 15th, 3 months' worth of interest. Even, as I've often said, some of these things don't ask questions. They don't need to make sense, but these are the rules, and we just have to live with the
Joe,
rules.
But, Joe, let me ask you something. Isn't that all taken into account in the market price of the stock to begin with? I mean, there's no such thing as free money, right?
Well, let me just say, they have record dates and they have pay dates. Everything does. Some are 30 days, some are 2 weeks, some are a week. Now, everybody that owns by this date gets paid this dividend or this interest. Now,
because usually by the ex-dividend date, price of the shares go up to that point, and then they fall right the hell down, right?
Usually they do, but not always on these debt instruments. They work very much like that in common stock. Common stock. Just before the dividend date, the X date, the prices of the shares will go up considerably. And right after they pay or they declare that you have to own it, the share prices go down.
Now, wouldn't you be more inclined to buy that after it goes down, after they pay the interest dividend?
Well, it depends. Some of these, if you look at the chart history-wise, some change very little. Yeah. What you have to do is look at the chart and see, is it in your best interest to do it? The other side of the coin is, what if you're going to hold on to this in your plan for a year or two or three?
Well, then you'll be stuck with that horrible interest rate of 5 or 6%.
I know. Terrible thing. But the object is you can sell these anytime you want. I mean, they're 100% liquid the whole time. So anybody that has banks they're not happy with or things like that, it pays them to get information on this stuff so they can take a look at it and see if it works. This is all education. These are alternatives to going in the bank.
I got you. Well, 5% ain't bad in this environment.
In today's environment, it's very good. 1-888-221-8990, and Connie is holding up the 1 second, 1 minute card. Uh-oh, she's getting ready to hold up the 30 second card.
She's smiling. She knows it's coming.
She knows it's coming. she learned from Pastor Tom how to wave the cards. 1-888-221-8990. Any questions you might have for Vince Rosino, CPA, Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, Joe Martek, financial advisor, Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, or Greg Fasula, attorney, you call the station anytime.
Did you mention Dan Warren?
How about Dan Warren?
And Dan Warren. I forgot about Dan.
And then Greg Fasula.
I know I mentioned him.
Yes.
You're not listening.
I wasn't listening.
You're getting old.
I thought I heard for Greg Fasula was not there.
15 seconds here.
Go ahead.
1-888-221-8990, and I think we should say goodbye. What do you think, honey?
Say goodbye.
Connie says we should say goodbye.
Good night, everyone.
Goodbye, everybody.
God bless you.
Onward.
You've been listening to the Team Martek program. The Team Martek program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martek. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martek program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martek is available at 772-229-0114.
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run there.
This is WCNO, Palm Springs.